Welcome to Beyond the Fear, a space for rebels and dreamers, healers and soul seekers, light workers and rule breakers, artists and creators who are ready to break free from fear and live a life that turns them on. Hey, I'm Nadine Zamot, and in my early 20s, I broke free from an oppressive culture in the Middle East that was suffocating my free spirit and denying me the ability to follow my intuition. I now embrace a life that exceeds my wildest imagination, and my mission is to guide you to do the same. My unique method brings together practical aspects of money coaching, energetics, trauma and nervous system healing, spirituality and inner child work. And as a result, my clients are now able to follow their desires and tap into the richness of life, elevating not just themselves, but also their communities. This podcast is about integrating and healing our shadow parts to amplify our essence and live life guided by our intuition. My guests and I will be sharing our stories and wisdom to help guide you to embracing and living life passionately. Because there's nothing sexier in life than a person who embraces their authentic power. The world needs you to show up as you, in your power, in your authenticity, your imperfections, your rebellion, and in your truth. Because if this little girl from Jordan can do it, so can you. So now, what about you? What's waiting for you beyond the fear? Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Beyond the Fear. I am your host, Nadine Zamot. And with me today, I've got a special guest. I've got Bree Stockwell, all the way from Austin, Texas. Hello, Bree. Nice to see you. This is actually, we've been Instagram friends for a while, and this is the first time we actually have a as much as of a face-to-face meeting as we can. I put lipstick on for the occasion. She did her hair. So this is a very special occasion for both of us. Thank you so
much. It's a podcast date.
It's a podcast date.
So let's not lie. It's a podcast date.
Tell us about yourself, Bree. Tell us everything that you would like to tell us today.
Okay. Well, I won't bore you forever. But so I am, I think mostly... I'm a photographer. I really specialize in nature and landscape photography. I love, love, love the desert. And we'll talk about that in a minute. I'm a mom of four awesome kids who are all amazingly, they're adults now. So I feel like that's like a feat. And in fact, I rewarded myself for getting all of my kids to adulthood by taking a...
I'm trying to get myself to adulthood, but yeah.
Well, same, but if we can try and get ourselves to adulthood and take some other people along, how amazing is that? So, but I did reward myself with a road trip, a month-long road trip in September, which was amazing.
Beautiful.
And I'm a hiker. I used to not love hiking so much, but now that I do, I know. But now that I want to be out in nature with my camera, I enjoy it so much more. In fact, sometimes I just go on hikes without my camera because I love it so much. I know it's like morphed into a love of nature. So I've been actually married to my husband next Friday, it will be 29 years. Wait a minute. It's 2020. Oh no, it's 28 this year. So
congratulations. That's
thank you.
You've accomplished a lot, huh?
I know. I feel like it's kind of amazing that we still like each other after this many years.
And you're also a coach.
I am a coach for creatives. Mm-hmm. I call myself a mindset and confidence coach because mm-hmm. I really think confidence is where everything starts. That's the fuel that we use to get so much of our creative work done. So, and I love, love, love talking about that. And that's going to be partly what mm-hmm. we talk yeah. about here today, because yeah. that's partly like my own journey. So, and I'm a lifelong creative. Mm-hmm. I'm doing photography now, but I've done all kinds of creative work, and I'll never stop. So
your whole life is a body of work, huh?
Yes, 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 yes. It absolutely is. So, and I also have a podcast with mm-hmm. another Aussie. Well, you are you're an Aussie transplant.
I'm an Aussie transplant.
Yes, his name's Len Metcalf, and we have a podcast called A Creative Affair. And I just have loved that work. It's actually taught mm-hmm. me so much. So, and
we're going to link everything in the show notes because I think your podcast is great, but that's how we got to know each other on Instagram. I think your photography work is quite exceptional.
Thank you.
Really, really exceptional. So I started following you after you won an award for a photo that you took of White Sands that was published in a magazine, and they tagged you and they gave you that award. And I was like, oh, I need to follow her. And that's where our friendship began. And it's great. But your photos are very different to what I see out there. Yeah. So I'm going to be linking everything in the show notes.
Thank you.
That's what turns me on, your photos. They're great.
Well, yes, for sure. For sure. Visiting these places and having these experiences definitely turns me on. You were going to ask me, right?
What turns me on in life?
Right. And so I'm going to say two things. One is so superficial, but it's perfume.
Oh, wow. Okay. No, I don't think it's superficial. I think every person has a more heightened sense of one of the five or six senses. It's more heightened than the rest. And that's how they actually get grounded through that. So for me, it is scent as well. That's how I function. I feel more grounded when I smell certain smells or scents. And for you, it's perfume. So I don't think that's superficial at all.
I think so often it's like associated with beautiful experiences. Mm-hmm. And so, I've just had some wonderful experiences where I've had certain scent on. So, I just think it's great. And right. And also it's maybe I'll just leave it at that, because mm-hmm. here's the thing. I feel like perfume is my way to embrace who I am as a woman.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Because I didn't used to feel like that. Mm. And so wearing perfume has been like, I get to feel pretty and beautiful, and I get to put it on when nobody else is around for me. Like, what am I going to wear today?
Instead of lipstick for this.
No, lipstick is your thing. I knew you were going to wear lipstick.
I always wear lipstick. I have 96 lipsticks, so I got to use them.
Fun fact about Nadine. And also I layer the perfume. I love one brand. It's called Jo Malone, and I layer them. So,
Okay.
And I can smell different every single time. Anyway, but it's beautiful.
No, well, actually for me, scent is not really perfume. It's actually smelling lavender makes me feel so alive for some reason, but also it's so weird now that you're talking about it. It's making me think that the scents of certain foods or even the flavors of certain foods take me back to times in my life that, you know, just kind of invoke a feeling of home for me. And that's what scent makes me feel like I'm home, and also makes me feel like I am involved in this 3D world through my five human senses. So that's what it does for
Isn't it interesting how so often we have these experiences mm-hmm. that we can re-experience because of a color we see or a texture that we might touch? Like, oh my goodness, this feels just like my grandma's whatever jacket or whatever it is, right? Yeah. Or something like, most often I think it's by something that we smell. And if we want to maybe remember a wonderful experience, maybe we can actually like manufacture that just a little bit. I'm curious about that. Anyway, it's a lot of psychology involved in that.
Which is really nice. Yeah, I love the smell of mothballs because it reminds me of my grandma.
But maybe you don't want to smell like that every day.
No, not every day. But when you get a whiff of a mothball, I'm like, oh, grandma, Thanks. Hello.
And when you say lavender, it reminds me of my mom because she has basically a lavender farm and she makes her own lavender essential oil. And so when I smell lavender,
it takes you to mom.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. So, I put a call out on Instagram to connect with people to talk about connection with self. And personally, I started connecting with my own self through solo travel. And as I disclosed in previous episodes, well, not disclosed, really shared, I grew up in the Middle East. And at the time and the upbringing that we had at home, it was quite like an impossible dream for me to even think about traveling or leaving Jordan because my dad rarely let me leave the house. You know, he was a very strict father and off to school, back from school. What time are you going to come home? And we need to be sure that you are on time. Why are you late? Kind of thing. So for me, like having this dream of like, oh, I'm just going to go off and travel one day. That was crazy. That was like crazy talk. It was like, I'm going to become a unicorn or something like that. So when I took myself out of Jordan and moved to Australia, the first thing I did when I, you know, it became easier for me to get visas and travel and all this when I became an Australian citizen was I just traveled. I traveled on my own. And that's when my connection with my intuition started becoming stronger. And that's when I kind of knew who I really am. Because I feel like when you're traveling alone, it just removes all the day-to-day distractions from around you and it brings you to yourself, but also you kind of build that self-trust with and in yourself and you kind of have yourself for entertainment kind of thing. And I know that you shared, you took yourself on a month-long road trip and that's amazing. And I love your take on, I love to talk to you about like your trip, but also how this has been enhancing your connection with yourself, with your intuition, with your creative spirit, and all the juicy stuff. So tell us about yours. Yeah. So go. So yeah. Tell us about the road trip.
So much of what you just said, like resonates with me. I mean, I grew up differently than you. My mom actually, I always felt like my mom was this like hippie mom, you know, whatever it is, you know, you'll figure it out. And she taught us to be like really independent. My dad was the more strict one. But guess what? Remember I told you I've been married for 28 years. Yeah. I met my husband the day after my 19th birthday.
Oh, wow.
So I know. So it's not, and I've been with him ever since. And like I had my first baby when just before I turned 21 and I have four kids, right? So, but I have been doing kids for years and years and years. Mm-hmm. And literally the thought like didn't really ever come to me about doing a solo trip. I've gone to visit friends and whatnot, but this solo trip idea was so foreign to me. And so here's the thing. We can talk about my road trip, but the catalyst and the most,
let's go there to the roots.
Yes. Let's go to the roots. So I'll start back. this starts back in December of 2019. Mm-hmm. And I'm very open with this on our podcast and I've written a blog post and I talk a lot about it. I created this impossible goal for myself, but really I was a beginning photographer and I always wanted to do more with it. And I didn't know how. And what I ended up doing, I was actually in this coaching program and they challenged us to create this big impossible goal in the year 2020. And I know you're laughing because like, we're all like, oh, and
I was the big impossible goal.
I know. I'm like, oh, I'm going to go to Costa Rica and I'm going to go to Hawaii and I'm going to go. I literally had like plans to go to like, to South Korea and to like all of these amazing places and all of that kind of, I had made this goal to spend the year 2020 really learning photography and host a personal exhibition of all my photos, which I think like there's so much involved with that. Like being able to judge your own work and do all the work to present it and know people are going to come look at it. And, you know, what do I think about my own work? So, but in that year, I ended up just because it was 2020. And if you're listening to this 10 years from now, FYI, it's COVID. So, but
the world turned on its head.
The world turned on its head. And all of those trips I had planned were not where they never came to be.
Yes.
But I ended up taking road trips and I needed to go in the summertime, July 2020. A need presented itself for me to drive. I needed to drive my son to Utah and back for an event. But anyway, so when I was planning my route, I thought, oh, maybe on the way back. And I don't know where I had heard about white sands. And, you know, here's the
you
thing.
You just
is,
say these words and I love white sands.
So Nadine and I have this mutual love for White Sands National Park.
You love them. I'm obsessed with them. Okay. Like I've sands on myself.
It is an obsession. I have some friends who posted on their Insta story that they're at White Sands. And I'm like, I felt the longing pull again. Longing. And it hasn't been that long. I know it hasn't been that long since I've been there.
It's been a year for me.
That is a year too long.
I know.
So I don't know what it was. I honestly can't remember why, but I thought I've always like, oh, White Sands was always a place I thought might be interesting. And I thought I just needed to go check it out because I'm doing this photography thing. Maybe I'll just go check it out with my camera and see if maybe I can get some photos or if I should come back. Okay. So it felt more casual, but it was like, I can just stop there. Mm-hmm. So I drop my son off at the hotel and I run over to go there. I only have like maybe 2.5 hours. It's long enough, but also not long enough at the same time. So I drive in, and as I'm driving in to this place, I am like overwhelmed with this emotion. And I feel like emotional about it even right now. I'm just like, oh, she's crying. Come on, stop it. We're going to go there and hug and cry because it's such a beautiful place.
That's exactly what happened with me. We drove in and I was overcome with that emotion of home and safety and beauty and awe and oh my God, please continue.
But there's something, I think there's, and I'm curious for the listeners, if you felt this like about places, it doesn't have to be White Sands, but I would suspect that there are places that you go and you put yourself in that bring out these emotions in you.
Yeah.
So, and that's what it was for me. And I drove in and I instantly knew that there was a connection.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly what it is. I instantly knew there was a connection. You said it perfectly. Yeah.
Yeah, just and some sort of energy that's drawing me there.
Yep.
And so I did my visit and I was in awe and I put my feet in the sand.
Oh man.
And it was so dreamy good. And it was amazing. And the next morning I'm driving back because it's 9 hours from Las Cruces, which is close to White Sands, to my house in Austin. And I got in the car and I was like, I don't know what it is. I've never thought of this before, but I absolutely have to take a solo trip there. And I just felt this pull to do this. And, you know, you and I have had some little mini conversations about this, like creative intuition and what pulls us to go do things. Yeah. And it was unreal. It's like, unlike anything that I really have experienced. Yeah. I'm pretty experienced with listening to some intuition and following like little nudges that I get to go do things or say things or whatever. So I am practiced in that. But this one was so overwhelming. I could not deny it.
Yeah. I experienced that twice in my life. The first time I experienced this was in 2015. I was traveling in the US and I stopped in New Orleans and I had that pull. Like the moment my feet hit the French Quarter, I started bawling my eyes out, and all of a sudden it started raining. It was August and it was like this tropical rain, and there was a brass band playing, and I said, this is the first time I ever feel this way, but I know that there's this energetic belonging and pull that I felt. And I was supposed to be there for 10 days. I ended up living there for 3 years. I had to go back to Melbourne and do a few things. But that pull was very strong. Like in the meantime, between like I stayed there for 10 days and then I did more travel in the US, came back to Melbourne because that was home at the time, came back here to Melbourne, and I was like, I can't even think about anything. You know, it's like you have this longing for a lover. You know, you can't eat, you can't think, you can't sleep. You
yes.
just cannot stop
yes.
thinking about that place. That was yes. me in New Orleans back in 2015. I made it back in April 2016. And by some miracle, I was there for 3 years. And after that, we moved to New Mexico. So we moved to New Mexico in September 2019. And the funny thing is that leading up to it, I didn't know about white sands, but leading up to that move, every time I would meditate, my soul would go somewhere that is completely covered in white sands. And I didn't know what it was. I was like, what's going on? Why is that happening? And then I got a job when we first moved to New Mexico, and this girl was like, you need to go to White Sands. I was like, bing, my ears like perked up. I was like, what is that? And she goes, Google it. And I looked at the photos that are on Google, and I was like, that's the place. That's the place my soul visits every time I meditate for the past year.
That's crazy and yep, awesome.
It's absolutely crazy. And when we drove in, and I know exactly what you're talking about, that drive in is the most ethereal drive, because you don't know what you're surrounded in. Is it snow? Is it sand? Like, where am I? And the silence is deafening. The first day I got there, I had the impression that I walked inside of somebody's mind while they're meditating. And that energetic pull and that feeling of belonging and awe, and there are no words that I know of that can describe how we feel in White Sands. And it's kind of a family pilgrimage. Like, my husband feels the same. Our dog Arby, she fucking loves it over there. She runs like crazy.
Mine does too, by the way.
Oh my God.
She like, loves it.
It's a beautiful place. And yes, I am curious as to if somebody out there listening to this, if you have had a pull towards somewhere, it doesn't need to be White Sands. I mean, we connected about it, but like I said, New Orleans did that to me in the past. And I'm sure other places will do that. And I often wonder, like, have we been there before in a past life, for example? Is it like exactly the alignment of the stars and the planet in that exact place where you are going to get the biggest downloads? Because that's where I downloaded the idea of taking my business online. And like every time I'd visit White Sands, I'd come up with this crazy new business idea. And I don't know if it's because I'm relaxed. Anyway, so what is your take? Like,
probably. Well, I on my way back in July, on my way back home, mm-hmm. I just started thinking, I need to go back by myself. And this was, you know, I know a lot of people do solo travel and it's a thing. Mm-hmm. But I hadn't really, seriously, I really hadn't ever done that.
Raising a tribe.
Exactly. And three boys, come on.
Oh my God.
One daughter,
you didn't
and three
say
boys.
Three boys.
Yeah, oh, three boys. It's fun stuff over here. So, by the way, they're all living at home
right now.
Yeah. They're still, it's like one just came back. It's, it's fun. Anyway, but so I just knew I needed to go back. And so I said, came back and I told my husband, hey, guess what? I need to do this. And he was like, oh, okay. And really, like, everyone at that point, everyone can take care of themselves. No one really needs me. And so I just booked all the things. I made the plan and I didn't put it off. So here's the beautiful thing is I felt the pull. Mm-hmm. I knew I needed to do it. And I did it. I made it happen. And I think so often we tell ourselves, this is crazy. Why am I thinking this?
Like, this is crazy, outrageous, ridiculous. Yeah. Doesn't make sense. Right. It's illogical. Yeah.
Right. Exactly. And here's what I want to say is there will be beautiful things that come out of following. Like this is your, and I forget what you call it, Nadine, but I call it your creative spirit. It could be your creative intuition, whatever it is. There is so much value in even just honoring that thought and doing it. Right?
100%.
So I was like, okay, I feel the need to do this. I'm going to go. And I planned and I went and, at first I felt really weird. No, I just felt really weird because I was by myself. And I wasn't used to being totally by myself, and also I was in a new place, and also I was a new, like a newish photographer. In fact, that on that trip was when someone was like, hey, what, the people who own the Airbnb, they were like, oh, what do you do? And I'm like, oh, I'm a photographer. I had to say that
you
I owned it
at that moment.
I pretended to own it. But I did.
Make it till you make it.
And maybe that trip, now in hindsight, thinking about it, maybe that trip really was where I decided to be, not become, because I had already become.
Yeah, your photos were great and you were a photographer in many people's eyes. Yeah.
But it's where I decided to actually be a photographer.
Yeah.
So, I think some, And I'm actually just because I've talked about taking this trip before, but I've never talked about it in depth like this. And I think there's, because I do think there's so much to be learned when we follow that pull to go do these things, we're going to learn things that we never would have thought that we would learn before.
So just zooming in for a second here, there is listening, like A, listening to your intuition, but then there's B, following your intuition, making it happen. And regardless of the voices that are in your head or in, you know, the people around you that are saying, you're crazy, what are you doing? Because for me, the second New Orleans trip, I wanted to quit a very, very, very stable and a very good job because I wanted to go to New Orleans for 3 months. Even my boss at the time, she goes, Nadine, why don't you just take a 3 month sabbatical? I'm like, no, I have a feeling that I need to cut connection with this job. She's like, you've been here 5 years. I know. Don't ask me questions. She never poo-pooed me or shamed me, but she was like, why are you doing this? I was like, I don't know. I'm just following my intuition. And it was crazy. And sometimes following your intuition does mean doing crazy shit, right?
Yeah. Oh yeah. 100%. Or things that we think are crazy.
Yeah. Maybe
other people are like, oh yeah, I totally already did that. It's no big deal.
But from that, desire to follow that intuition, that nudge in 2016, my whole business started because a lot of people were like, oh, I wish I can afford to do what you're doing. I was like, hold up. You don't just put your numbers in a spreadsheet and like do your value-based spending and blah, blah, blah. They're like, what are you talking about? I then realized that, oh, the things that I have developed for myself are not like this innate knowledge that everyone has. People need to learn this stuff. People need to learn how to follow their, like to afford to follow their gut and actually have that support network of like, you're not crazy. There is a bunch of people out there like you who lead their lives by their spirit, by their heart, by their like intuition. So not only are you not crazy, but also you can afford it if you do these things, but not taking my formula, taking it from the inside out. And that's how my business started.
I think it's really interesting when people say, I wish I could do that because, and you know, I talk about in my own practice, right? I talk about helping people who are creative achieve their dreams because let's take what you wish and turn it into to reality. And that's what you do too. I think so much of what we do is very, very similar. And for me, listening to your creative spirit, And I just did a webinar all about confidence, and this was part of it, because mm-hmm. I really believe that listening to your creative spirit creates confidence for yourself.
100%. How right? much more and following confidence it. And self-trust do you have when
yes.
you allow that intuition to speak to you and you follow it and you believe in yourself in that way?
And it's in the following of it that creates the confidence. Yes. Like, okay, I hear, like, being able to listen is a skill that we mm-hmm. practice and learn. Yeah. And we learn it by listening a little bit at a time and also following it. And so when we have big things like, hey, you should move to New Orleans, or you should do a solo trip to a place you've never been to, you uh-huh. know, then we have the confidence to be able to go, okay, I trust myself enough to be able to do
built.
That.
It gets yes. built with time. Like, I didn't just wake up one morning and start a business. I built that
yes.
confidence and self-trust in very small increments. I don't know where it started. I wonder where it started. It could have been, you know, just like speaking. Oh yeah, I worked at a radio station. That's
where
my confidence started building. I was a radio presenter for a couple of years, and gosh, what it took me a lot to just have the confidence to say things on air, because it wasn't recorded and broadcasted. It was broadcast straight away. So building that confidence, it took a while. Yeah, you're so right. Yeah.
It's kind of if you look back on cumulative, like mm-hmm. all the things that we've experienced, like all the things that I've experienced in my life, even yeah. things that the world could think are bad, have really contributed to being in this place that I am, that I actually really love. And sure, I have some crazy stuff going on here. I have no idea, but I still love it. Mm-hmm. And so let me take you back to this White Sands That's trip good. Because
I'm going, I'm always down to go to White Sands in go. My mind, let, physically.
Yeah. Just close your eyes. Let's close your eyes. I'll take you on a little White Sands slideshow.
Right. Anyway. Everyone close your eyes unless you're driving.
Right. Okay. So you can meditate with your eyes open. That's okay too. So I take this trip, and I told you it was kind of like, I was unsure at the beginning, but then I started every day. I was going to White Sands and coming back and doing, you know, downloading all my images and then going back. And when you talk about going into the dunes mm. and how mm, quiet dunes. It is, mm-hmm.
the solitude and the quietude, is that a
yes.
word? Like the silence of
quietude.
The dunes?
Yes.
Quietude.
Yes. I have one of my images is actually called Quietude. So. And I think it's from the dunes. I forget
which
one.
I'm
going to
buy
anyway.
It from you once we, yeah.
I'll show you. But going into the dunes was, this is what made the, like, first of all, taking this, following that like inner spirit and, mm-hmm. and doing the trip, mm-hmm. planning it and making it happen. But being out on the dunes where everything is so, so quiet, and I was not a coach then, but I was in a coaching program. So mm-hmm. I was doing the work to understand what I was experiencing more. Like, what am I thinking? How am I feeling? How is all of that affecting and informing how, like, who I am and how I show up in the world? And do I like it? Mm-hmm. Right. And for me, I was asking like all of these questions, like kind of almost like subconsciously, but so much of my life, and I think because I had been busy with kids and doing all the things and the yeah. swim team and the da 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 and all the things, I wasn't stopping
yeah.
to really experience my own emotions. I was doing a lot of masking about what I felt. I thought I had to be positive all of the time. And so going out on those dunes, and it's literally silent, like there's a plane that flies every once in a while, but there's no birds out on the dunes.
No, there's nothing.
Maybe there's silent. People. Yes. But if you walk far enough, there's nothing. Mm-hmm. The wind. That's it. And your brain.
It's on the edge of like, is this too far? Am I going to be able to find my car ever again?
Oh, I can, because I use Gaia to track myself in and out.
I need to probably
I go rogue all the time. Yeah.
I mean, like it's on that, like that limit of like, am I too alone? Is this safe? Mm-hmm. Am I even allowed to be here?
Yes. Yes.
You know, that's like that limit. And sometimes we do hit a place where like, I don't think we're supposed to be here. So let's just, you know, go back.
Right. I know there was this last time I'm like, I think I'm farther out than I ever have been. Maybe mm-hmm. I should check my map because I have to figure out how long it's going to take me to get back. So, but I out on those dunes is really where I allowed myself to be, to be vulnerable with my own brain and to really like see some thinking and feel some emotions that maybe I would normally have thought were kind of ugly. Because so much of the time we don't really want to experience those things. Like we really like in my life, up until then, I had done so much work to not experience those and to run away from those.
So the reason I did this facial expression, I'm like, now she's getting to the juicy parts because
now I'm getting to the juicy parts.
That's where real self-love comes from. It's when we also confront the parts of us that are quote unquote ugly because mm-hmm. we are told be strong, be positive, be this, be that. But what about the parts of us that are shunned to the shadows?
And my mom, yes, exactly. Because they're all parts of us. Yes. My mom would always say, and I've since challenged her on this, but she would always be like, remember, the goal is to be happy. And so, right. Nadine just had a big wide eyes. Like, of course.
Sorry, Bree,
so
mom.
Like, love you, mom. So like, of course I'm thinking like some of these, like when I feel terrible or I have thoughts that seem ugly, like I shouldn't even be having those because the goal is to be happy and those things don't take me towards happiness. So I thought.
So you thought, yes.
So I thought.
Yeah.
But here's the thing, when I can look at and being able to like, and that's why I say being vulnerable with myself, mm-hmm. because I think we really, in order to do this work on a deep level and understand ourselves, we have to be vulnerable with our own selves. We have to be able to write out stuff that we think is ugly and mm-hmm. let it all hang out. And I hadn't really ever done that. And that is what that trip allowed me to do. I mean, there's one other thing I learned too, but that is really a deep, deep lesson that I have taken back with me is that I can be okay. I'm okay looking at all of those thoughts and it's fine. There's nothing that happens to me when I look at all of those like ugly thoughts. In fact, they're not even that ugly. They're just things that my mind likes to throw at me because it's so used to doing that for or whatever it is, right? I have the capacity to experience so much and love all of those parts, right? And I'm still on the journey where I'm learning to love all of those parts, including my own judgment of myself and all of that. I think we all are. But that to me, this is why this solo trip is so huge for me because that was, this is the beginning of me learning how to accept all of the judgment and all of the gross crap that my brain wants to think of.
I have so much to say out of this. Like first, like the first small thing I want to say that I love, it's not like this, you know, year-long journey across Asia. It could have been, right? But like the importance or the effect or the impact of the solo trip has nothing to do with how far or how expensive or how many hours you are away from home. It could be to the woods behind your house, as long as you're intentional with being in solitude with yourself and knowing that some unpleasant, quote unquote, things are going to come out and holding space for yourself while these things are going to come out to be processed. Because if you can't name it, how can you change it, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So, you know, I love that it's, you know, it's just a road trip 9 hours away from you. And I'm just wanting to emphasize that you don't have to plan a road trip or like a solo trip that is like to the moon, it can be somewhere very close to you. I sometimes take just an Airbnb an hour away from home just to be alone, just so that I can hear myself think. Not that I don't have a bunch of children here, but like taking yourself out of your home environment, even if it's a camping trip, it doesn't have to be expensive or like this massive thing. You know,
I wonder, because you're talking about solo trip, but I'm also wondering, like, I'm thinking about environment too, right? So that's part of it.
Environment, for sure. Mm-hmm.
And then mentally preparing yourself. Like for me, it was listening to my intuition to guide me.
Yeah.
But also, I think the solo trip is, and I think the multi-day solo trip.
Multi-days, really, I think, is important, yeah.
Because I think that there's some time. Remember I said at the beginning, it was a little uncomfortable. Yeah. I think there's some space that we need to give it to be able to relax into our environment. I think that's huge, too. Mm-hmm.
There's that, but also, yeah, relaxing into your environment, but also getting over the excitement of being somewhere new. Like,
yes.
When I first got to New Orleans, the first 3 days were like, oh, my God, this is awesome. And as when it became normal, that's when I started listening to me and what's coming up. And the other thing that you said that is absolutely brilliant is that how you're able to hold yourself through these really difficult emotions, and how we think that being happy means never feeling any like ugly emotions, let's say. But how sometimes happiness is at the end of that tunnel, but you have to go through that tunnel, even though sometimes that tunnel makes you feel like you're about to die, you know, especially when you have childhood trauma and all these things. Like sometimes you need somebody to hold your hand or hold the flashlight while you're, you know, your hands are busy navigating the bushes because we're in that tunnel, right? But true, authentic happiness that is not coming from emotional or spiritual bypassing is at the end of that tunnel of navigating and integrating your shadows.
I think that's beautiful. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think there is really so much that we can learn just by allowing ourselves to be open to experiencing that.
And
the other,
oh, sorry,
go ahead.
No, I was just going to add, like, even as a child, I always appreciated art that comes from pain. Don't all need to be in pain to create meaningful art, but there is a certain finesse and a certain talent of turning your pain into meaningful art that will impact the world. Whether it's
it can be a really amazing outlet.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. A podcast, it could be a coaching business, a program. Mm-hmm. Turning your pain, integrating that pain and being really authentic with yourself and really like in integrity, and then putting it out to impact the world. I think that is true art.
Yeah, I think so too. And speaking of art, it was on that trip that I really connected with what kind of work I wanted to be creating. And because I listened to that spirit to pull, you know, my intuition, I could then better connect with my creative intuition. And when I was at White Sand, like I have stuff from White Sands, like so much of my work from that year was just okay. But my work from White Sands, I feel, is on a different level for me personally. It is more of my authentic work. And so when I feel pulled to go somewhere, I do it because I know that I will be creating authentic work when I go there. And this is just for me as an artist too, that I really think that we have to be able to learn as artists, we have to be able to learn to listen to that, because I also tell people this, like, it's maybe not going to be my best work, but it will absolutely be my most authentic. And that feels amazing and so good to me, because that's the work that I want to put out into the world, is the stuff that resonates with me on a very deep and personal level.
See, also on that, it's not just what you're going to create from that trip, like directly. Mm-hmm. I go here and I create this.
Yes.
It's more the growth that you go through from that experience. you know, like my business, for example, or my podcast, they weren't created until years after my New Orleans trip and years after my first White Sands experience. But I had to go through a lot of personal growth that were maybe kind of like instigated because of that experience, yes. because I yes. listened, because I went, you know, like just that, you know, it doesn't necessarily need to be directly related, but your soul guides you on what it needs next for its evolution.
Right. We call it like, I talk a lot with people in the photography, like the art community,
yeah.
that our experiences inform our work.
Yes.
And right. And so like, I can look back now and go, okay, from that experience, I know that I like more simplified, I like scenes that are more simplified.
I mean, that is exactly what it is. It's so simple. Your work is yes. so stunning and simple, but like, it's like, I don't know what you do with stuff. I really don't know what you do, but it's,
I'm going to talk to you every day so you can like gush at me. Like this
well,
is okay.
Well,
let's lay it on
to this recording. You can
well, maybe
to
I will. I'll put Nadine.
Just put it on every morning. Nadine's yes. serenading my work.
Yeah. Yes. 100%. 100%.
Your work is well, something else.
Well, partly probably because it's maybe, and here's the thing. I think you can feel people's energies and you can mm-hmm. feel when people are creating work that speaks to them. But also, you know, we both have this love of a similar place, right?
No, and but even like you've taken photos in your backyard that look amazing.
I have done.
They're stunning, you know, it's not just White Sands.
Aww.
It's the stuff that you do, really.
Well, that, and thank you. And I would also say, that work that I did way back in August of 2020 showed me to guide me, not that I have to like use this like formula, but now I'm like, oh, I know what I'm more drawn to.
Wow.
So how can I put myself in places where I can create, where I have more opportunities to create that kind of work?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it doesn't, okay. you don't have to be like, this can translate for all different kinds of art. And anyone, like, where can we, how do those experiences that we have inform what we're doing now or what we want to be doing now? How can we replicate that and use it for our benefit, you know, to
like
move forward
and so that we can go back to that energy and kind of replicate it without that sense of urgency that like, oh shit, I feel really inspired right now. I'm on a roll. Is it going to go away? Just
right,
trusting
yes.
that you can
yes.
go back to that place.
Absolutely. Right.
Yeah.
yeah. And so since then I've been, well, I don't know how many times I've been back, but multiple times.
Don't make
one,
me jealous. I'm stuck here in Australia in this never ending winter.
And one of those times was like, oh, I have to go back. Like I told my husband, it was last year in April. I'm like, I have to go back. And so I did that. And I made the one image that mm-hmm. won that, that won that competition that you saw. And anyway, which is why we're talking now. It's just kind of meta and all amazing. I know. And you know, when I had some things going on that I needed to connect all the dots for in September. Mm-hmm. And so when I went to go connect them, my immediate thought was, hey, solo road trip for a month. But I mean, I wasn't solo. I was solo for like maybe a week and a half out of it. And my husband was with me the rest of the time. But now I have really no problems going, hey, do I want to do one? Oh, yes. That's so yeah. easy for me to make now because I've stepped past that hurdle. And I know some of the things I'm going to experience. I know sometimes going to feel uncomfortable. But I trust that whatever my intuition is dreaming up for me, that it's the right path. And
I think
love
that's,
that part.
That I love that message. Whatever your intuition is carving up for you or mm-hmm. nudging you to do is the right path. Oh,
right. I mean,
beautiful.
It's amazing. That to me is like such an amazing thing to learn. So anyway, we're both coaches. So we want to be like, what's your, as in the audience, what's your creative, what's your intuition nudging you to do right now? Yeah, and how can you honor that?
Yeah, I always leave episodes with journaling prompts. So that could be a really good one. Yeah.
Okay.
Where is your intuition nudging you? It could be in the weirdest places. Like, it doesn't, just because this is about a solo trip and connecting with your intuition through solitude in some way, but it could be anything, really. Your intuition could be nudging you. Where else has your intuition nudged you that kind of was on the money, that wasn't a trip? Like, just, you know, from the past few days.
Well, earlier, can I talk about something earlier this year?
Of course, yeah.
Earlier this year in my own business, I was like, what do, a lot of it starts with a question. What do we as creatives want?
Yeah.
And so much I've, you know, in my, you know, eating, in meeting with clients one-on-one and just chatting with people in general, I just had this inner feeling that I needed to create something that, that would help people with confidence. And what could it be? I was like, I was pulled. I need to create something that will help people with their confidence. And how, like, how, what could that look like? And I was like, I don't know what that's going to look like. And so then that took me on my own personal path.
So I don't know what that's going to look like, but then you, you don't have to know what it's going to look like, right?
No, but you know what's so great is then I started making all of these connections in my own life of how I created confidence for myself. I'm like, oh my gosh, because people look at me like we're talking, you know, back and forth and I feel really comfortable. I know this is going to go out to people all over the world. I'm totally comfortable with that. But like 20 years ago, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. But like, how do we create confidence for ourselves? And so looking that's at how I've done that,
not from an overriding, not from a fight or flight kind of place. Yeah.
Right. Not from like a, I have to have it, like that scarcity. I don't have it, so I need it.
Like, or like, I'm going to be confident and I'm going to be worthy. And you know, you kind you can tell when somebody's putting it on, it feels contrived kind of thing.
Yeah. Yes, it's that it's that confidence that comes from your inner self because
like inner confidence, and it's quieter and softer and more nuanced than like I am confident. Hear me roar, you know.
Those are words.
No shaming. I've been there, and I had to be that confident out of like fight mode to survive a certain things in my life, and that's okay. You know, nothing wrong with
that. Yeah, totally.
But it
totally
just gets tiring.
Right. And so how can we create? Yes. And I was like, well, so how can we create that? And so I was like, okay, I pieced together all my stuff. And now I have this really beautiful, can I talk about this?
Of course.
Now?
Go ahead.
Okay. Yes, awesome. So now I have this really beautiful 6-week program that's, I know it's just once a week for 6 weeks and we meet together. It's for all creatives, photographers, writers, January 4th. So come on, listen, here's the thing is I think, and I know this sounds like I'm tooting my own horn, but I'm not. I really think that
it's all right. I toot my own horn all day.
I know. You know why? Because we've done this work
it's
and
excitement.
We have
it's like not tooting. It's excitement. You love yourself. Look at your face.
I do love my stuff. You know why? Because I know how valuable it is. I know how much people change from doing the work. And literally, I teach people my coaching method. I teach people how to do it themselves. I teach them how to handle, because so much of when we're creating something and pushing ourselves forward, it's stressful. So we talk about how to manage that part when we're doing new things and we're teaching ourselves new things. And so we talk about how to manage that. And we get to learn how to actually create the confidence that we want. And we do it with a small group.
Cool.
And we do coaching. We do some like coaching. So anything that's on a personal level that people think they want help with, we do that. And anyway, I think it's just such a beautiful package.
That's
I put it at a price that I love. So anyway, it's really beautiful.
I'll put the link down and this will be published soon. So people will
thank
have
you.
Time
I invite anyone who look. Wants to, anyway, you can click on the link and find out about it. I also do a short Q&A if people just want to come chat and figure out like, is this the thing? It's like not a big deal. I love
after hearing
making
you
connections.
Speak, people know you how friendly you are.
I know. I really just love making connections. Like truly, like this, I'm going to be on fire after this convo.
Yes.
Because I truly love making the connections.
Yeah.
It's so
the connection
thank you.
That, of course. So just before we finish up today, I just want to just add that sometimes as a creative or a soul-led person, we do feel reluctant or scared that we're tooting our own horn.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like one of the first episodes that I created, Who the Fuck is Nadine Zalmot, I did talk about my program and my brain was like, am I tooting my own horn here? I'm like, no, I'm just really proud of the progress that my clients make throughout our work together. Like,
yes,
people are like in their 30s or 20s or 40s. I've got clients in their 50s and 60s who are, you know, I don't know why, but I've attracted a big cohort of accountants and CPAs. And I'm a money coach. In the beginning, I was like, what is this? But now I understand why, like, you know, numbers versus money, emotions and trauma and all that. Anyway.
Yes.
So what I'm trying to get at this is that the progress that they've made in a blip of time in relation to their like three or four or five decades on Earth, our work together is like maximum, let's say like 2 years or like 1 year or 6 months or whatever. That's a blip of time in all these decades.
Yep.
And the effects of it is going to be, you know, like replicated, not just in their lives, but in their communities as well. So
listen, this is life-changing stuff.
Yes, it is.
This is what I say, like literally.
This is life-changing stuff.
Literally, like, and we feel, and here's the thing is, we feel so strongly that this, the work that we each do is life-changing that we can't help
it's
but talk
passion.
About it. Yes.
Like not
so.
Just the coaching program, because I know a lot of people are a different kind of creative that are listening to this. They could be artists or they could be poets or singers, songwriters and all this.
Bring them to come to me. It'll be amazing.
This, our work really changes the world.
Yes.
Even if it's just a small poem, even if it's a song, it really puts people on a different, you take people from one like vibration to the other, and that just impacts their community and that impacts their communities. And it is life-changing work. So do not be scared of tooting your own horn.
And I think a great, I think one last thing that I would comment about this work is we're just the catalyst.
Yeah.
That the vessel, anyone who comes to us, you do the work. That's so powerful. And we want you to like, this is so amazing. We want to hear stories of people who had these experiences, maybe solo trip and how, or you followed your creative intuition. Like we want to hear how you honored that and you were powerful and you made the change. Like this put lights us on fire too, is how you are like, you are doing the work. So
yeah.
Oh my God. This is so yummy.
Yummy, juicy, zesty conversation. Thank you so much, Brie, for this lovely hangout. And I will be connecting your links on the show notes, but what is your website and where can people find you?
You can find me at all the W's, HTTP, whatever. Just put that in. It's creativemindscoach.com.
Beautiful. That's awesome. So, and that's your handle on Instagram as well, isn't it?
It is. Creative Minds Coach.
Cool. Thanks everyone for tuning in and for listening. I hope that you found this conversation as juicy as we found it and that you took a lot of value out of it. There are a few journaling prompts that Brie that she shared with us earlier. So I'll try and find them and put them in the show notes or something like that. But I'm sure that there's a lot of notes that you've all taken. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you next week. If you like this show, please leave a 5-star review and a few kind words in the review, because that is extremely helpful. All right, everyone, until next time. Bye.